Okay, so Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. It says, read Romans 8:1. So why does it say that? I don't know. The Lord's talking to you, Andrew. Okay, we are assured, this is amplified, and know that God, being a partner in the labor, all things work together and are fitted into a plan for good to those who love God and are called according to his design. Romans 8:28. Let me read that again. We are assured and know that, and in brackets, God being a partner in their labor, all things, know that all things work together and are fitting into the plan or are for good to those who love him, or love God, and are called according to his plan, design. Now that's a very, very important word, that. His plan. So that's not our plan, it's his plan. Very important. Who likes the scripture? The NIV. So the three of you this side, it's wonderful. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Who knows that one? Off by heart, we can quote it. Amen. For we know that in all things, God works for the good who love him and are called according to his purpose. Are we getting coming right, Sean? It's getting worse. It's getting worse. Well, that's not me. I don't know what's happening. Sean, your engineering skills, bro. So, for we know that God works, we say all things, to the good of those. Is this a new battery, Sean? Sean, sorry, the 9 volt, was it new? Are you sure? Not mine, not nor you, mine you, not your new. Okay, for we know that all things, okay, so all things, so we know it's all things, thank you, Lord. Please, Jesus, I don't want to change it. All right, so we have been called according to his purpose. Say his. So my first thing I want to say is this. We love this scripture, don't we? And we can all quote it. I can. We can all quote it because it's, I know God's working all things good according to those who love him according to his plan. But if we get the his plan part wrong, then unfortunately you kind of miss the point of that scripture. Because if I'm not tucked into the plan of God. All right, so I'm going to just, sorry, babe.
God's plan? All right, oh, here we go. Let's try this one. Okay, and we know that God works all things for the good. So if I'm not walking according to the plan of God, then remember, this is a promise. So we can look at 4 or 5 different things around this promise. So God works all things good. So that's a promise for the Lord, for my life, for your life, for our lives collectively, for the church on the bluff, the church in Durban, the church in South Africa, the church in the world. Because remember, every local church is made up of a bunch of people individually. Who's with me? So when Paul is writing to the church in Corinth and the church in Ephesus and the church in Philippi and the churches in Galatia, he's writing to local churches made up of men and women, boys and girls in that church that constitute that church. Who's with me? So that the power, the maturity, and each person in that group of people might constitute the whole church. Then that church in the area constitutes the church in the area, that church in the city, the nation, the world. Who's with me? So we got to understand that it can't be a church doing its own thing, its own purpose, or the church in the world doing its own thing, or the church in the city doing its own thing, or the church in the local church, the bluff, doing its own thing, or you, Grant, doing your own thing. Or me doing my, we've got to be locked into his purpose. Individually, collectively, in our community, in the nation, in the world. Who's with me? And when we're walking according to his purpose, he works all things out for our good. It's very important that we understand that it has to be his purpose and his plan. So that word purpose, let me say this quickly. Romans 8:18. For I consider, this is Paul writing, that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Now, how's that? Who's suffering at the moment? Who's suffering a bit? Okay. So Who is suffering for being a Christian? Okay, there's a couple of hands going up. Who's just suffering because they're living in this world? Okay. So Paul is talking about all our suffering, but the predominant theme of this scripture is suffering for being a believer. Living in Paul's day, it wasn't such a good thing. Matter of fact, only by the time Constantine came 200 and something years later was the gas taken off the church. Under Nero, Paul had his head cut off. That same guy persecuted the church to death, threw Christians into the lion's den, used Christians as toys for their bemusement and their pleasure because they were believers. Do you remember back in ISIS day when they had all those guys with orange overalls on the beach and they cut their heads off? There was 21 of them. When it started, there was 20 of them. The one guy was not a Christian. He was not a believer. And these guys threatened them with having their heads chopped off if they didn't convert to Islam. And they all said no, and no, and no. They're not converting. They refuse. The number 21 that was on that beach gave his life to Jesus in that time. And they all had their heads cut off in full view. I've never watched the videos, but you can see the guys walking. I don't want to go see that stuff. But they took knives and pointed the knives at the camera and said, "This is the people of the cross. This is what's coming for you." Chop their heads off with a knife. Who's in danger of that? Craig, I might lose my job. So, okay, it's tough. I know that. In this climate, okay, well, the Lord, okay, Jesus. But here they're being persecuted for their belief to the death. So Paul is now saying, I consider them our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So the stuff that you're going through, it doesn't even compare to the glory that's coming for you. Amen? For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. I just love that. Creation is waiting in eager expectation for the children or the sons of God to be revealed on this planet. For people to rise up into their maturity and begin to act like Jesus in this world. Not little smatterings here and there. Men who are willing to have their heads chopped off in full view of the world for their faith. Amen? I remember listening to a story. I don't think it's true, but it's just quite funny. Or not funny, it's quite serious and funny at the same time. These guys come in, they all got guns and knives. And they say to all the guys in the room, all the Christians having a church, and they walk in, they say, if you want to live as a Christian, you need to leave here. If you're a Christian, if you want to live, you need to leave. And half the church got up and walked out. And they came, they took their stuff off, said, we can worship Jesus. Anyway, the point is that the people that stayed were willing to die for their faith. So Paul is saying here, our present sufferings are not worth the glory that's coming. So everything that we go through in life, friends, will be found in this place. Actually, whatever I'm going through now, it's not compared to what I'm going to have in the future. So that what Jesus, what he's saying there, he says there's a purpose, there's a promise, and he will work out things for me in this life as I'm walking because he loves me and I'm walking according to his purpose. Amen? So the word purpose is the word prothesis, which means setting forth plan and setting something in motion. 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So if you think about us as a church, each one of us, so when I had the privilege of preaching one of the sessions a Saturday morning, the first session, talking about pressure, but the first session there, preaching at the summit on Saturday morning. And I was saying, it's not about the leaders in the front row here. It's not about them destroying the devil's work. You guys are going to destroy the devil's work. John is talking to all of us. He's talking to the church. And he's saying the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So the reason that Jesus appeared was to destroy Satan's work, which means now that Jesus has left the planet and gone into heaven and sent the Spirit of Jesus onto the earth, the Spirit of God now lives in me. And he says, now, Craig, your job, your purpose is to go destroy the devil's work. To go and destroy what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to undermine the power and the life of God in this dead and dying world. And the only people that can take the power and the life and the grace of God to a dead and dying world is you and I. So he calls leadership to help bring people into maturity, but the goal is that all of us in our mature state take that life to a dead and dying world. Amen? I know it's late, and I know it's 7:30 on a Tuesday night, and you're all having dinner around the table now, but I need you to preach with me, and I need you to celebrate this word with me. Amen? So we're going to partner together tonight. Partners, you know what partnership is? I do my part, you do your part. So please don't leave me up here just ranting and raving. And everyone just stares at me. Especially if you're a member of Grace Life and you know Grace Life and you understand this, then model to the other guys what this means. Amen? There's one or two people that are new here, so we don't expect that from them, but I want to encourage you. If you're part of Grace Life, amen, yes, brother. Not a thumbs down, hopefully, but all right. Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds a house, the labor's built in vain. So I'm talking about God's plan. This is not our plan, it's His plan. His plan is for you and I to destroy the works of the enemy in Christ. The works have, they've already been destroyed. There's nothing Satan can do. But we have to convince people, reconcile people to Jesus, that they can walk in freedom and power to take it to the next person and the next person and the next person and the next person. So I've said this before, the fastest way to disciple the nations is to plant powerful, potent, love-fueled local churches. But you need powerful, potent, love-fueled, faithful people to go and do that. Amen. And that's the goal of leadership, is to raise all of us up so that we all become mature, attaining to the full measure. Not the leaders. The leaders must... No, it's all of us. It's the body of Christ. Jesus doesn't live in the leaders. He lives in the body. Amen. And if He came to destroy the devil's works, and now I'm a son of God, one of His sons, my job is to destroy the Satan's work in anybody and everything I see. Remember this, Satan's goal is to do what? Is to undermine who God is in someone's eyes, to bring unbelief. So Jesus lived and He operated in a very high challenge culture. If you go look at every time Jesus speaks to people, there's high challenge. Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you, like you to tell me I have little faith. He wasn't trying to keep everybody happy and make sure everyone was happy and content and just happy with them. He had a high challenge culture within Himself, and He would challenge people around Him around their unbelief. You're not trusting God. You're not trusting God. You've heard it said, I tell you, you have little faith. He kept trying to pull His disciples up to the next level, to the next level. So we all need people in our lives to help us come to the next level. If you struggle with heart challenge and people challenging you, then you're missing the point of discipleship and mentoring and coaching and Christianity. Because we all need someone in our lives to pull us up to the next level where God's trying to get us to. Who's with me? And we don't shrink back from that. We are people that go, no, we are you also going to leave, Craig? No, God, you're the only one with words to eternal life. I need your words because your words are going to bring life out of me. And what did the crowd do? This is too hard. This guy's too hard. I'm leaving. This Jesus, I'm going to leave Him. He's too hard. I'm going to go to someone who's not going to be so hard challenged. So you think about Grace Life, and well, there might be churches around that are not going to challenge you and inspire you and try and bring conviction and try and bring a level of maturity and service. Amen. Each one reach, come on, get involved. Why? Because ultimately those things bring maturity. That's what they do. And so we're not going to leave you in your immaturity. We're not going to want to leave you where you are if you're in those places, because that's not what God calls us to as a church. Who's with me? One of the things I preached on, is that right? 16 minutes. Anyway, one of the things I preached on when I was there, one of my main theme was in 2 Peter, where he says, add to your faith goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, brotherly kindness, love, virtue. So Peter says to the church, he says, all these promises are yours. Everything I've given to you in life and godliness, you've got through His divine power, and all those beautiful things. He says, now, because of that, make every effort. And that word every effort, the word effort is spude, where we get our word speed from. Not the drug speed. Ryan, can I ask you a big favor? Can you please aim that fan Yeah, my notes are stable, Jan. They're not going to fall off. Now listen, Jess, you see. So it says, make every effort. That word's speed. Don't waste a minute. Don't waste any time. That's much better. Thank you. Don't waste any time. Push in to the things of God. Add to your faith. Self-control is one of them. Add to your faith. Why? Because, son, the Lord wants to lift you up in levels of maturity, because it's only in those levels of maturity that you're going to become effective and productive. That's what it says. If you take these qualities at the end of that chapter and you add them in increasing measure, say increasing measure. That's what it's about. It's increasing measure. So a good leader, someone who's coaching you and mentoring you, is going to be trying to get those qualities out of you in increasing measure. Yo, it's too hard, Craig. No. Ooh, I'm going to just rather just can this whole thing and go back to my life of surfing. Well, good luck with that. But the problem is you're not going to see things outworked for you according to God's plan. All things are not going to work to your good, no matter how much you try and quote that, because it's by faith. Amen? It's by faith. So he says, if you add those things, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. That's scripture, 2 Peter 1. Ineffective. And that word ineffective means, I say this with all the pastoral juices I can, but this is the English word, useless. They will keep you from being useless. They, say they, not God. Peter says they, these qualities, self-control, love, brotherly kindness, virtue, which means virtue, that word in the Greek, virtue, is to be the best I can be. Be the best. So you got a leader who's trying to be the best. He's trying to pull out of you the best you can be. You don't want to get away from that. You want to go close to that. There's no successful CEO or sportsman in this world that doesn't have a coach. But as Christians, we go, I don't need that. I don't need discipleship. I got me and my Bible, and I come to church on a Sunday, I listen to the preacher, I have a cup of coffee, I go home. Amen. Anyway. Unless the Lord builds a house, the laborers build in vain. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. We have a destiny in the Lord. I know the plans I have for you. Yes, God. But son, you need to walk according. If you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me straight off that scripture. And I don't want that one. I just want the plans that you have for me are good, not to seek you and find you. I already sought you. I went to church on Sunday. You were there. Amen. God is the God of promise. Marriage, eternal life, finances, hope, strength. In your discouragement, you put your hand up and struggling. In your depression, mental illness, conquering sin or unbelief, comfort. In your kids, He's a God of promise. He promises you good things in those things. But some people are going around and around and around the mountain, their faces on the floor, sucking lemons, because God doesn't love me too much, because my life is always a mess. Well, sir, let's talk for a minute or two. I'm sure I'll be able to find where your unbelief is sitting. It's sitting in your finances, for sure. It's sitting in your marriage, for sure. It's sitting in the way you serve God, for sure. No, but I love God. Okay, give me your diary, give me your bank balance, or give me your bank account, and I'll show you if you love God or not. Amen. Is this helpful? It's like three people said that. So the word promise is the Greek word, or promise of good, agathos, which means benefits of good constitution of nature, useful, salutary, pleasant, agreeable, joyful. Who wants those things? Friends, Paul is in prison. He's chained and he's singing. He's singing praise songs. Amen? Sorry. I'm just going to take this off a second. He's singing worship songs in prison. In chains, in a dungeon with his rats and cockroaches, and it's wet and damp and cold. And he's worshiping Jesus. Amen? Who of us is sitting in prison for Jesus' sake? Not because we stole money. For the Lord's sake. So the reason why I belabor that point is because we have to understand that if we're going to walk out this purpose and a plan, if we're going to take these promises and apply them to our lives, we have to line our lives up with the plan of God. Who's with me? And I want to tell you, friends, it's incredibly important. There is no successful CEO or sportsman that has done anything in this world that doesn't have a coach, doesn't have someone that's helping mentor them and move them forward. Matter of fact, the higher in life you go in those echelons of life, the greater the degree of coaching you need. You look at professional sportsmen, every one of them pay top money dollars for coaches. Amen? I want to encourage you. Peter, James, and John had a coach. His name was Jesus. Yeah, but hold on, Craig, you're not Jesus. No, but Titus, Barnabas, Epaphroditus, and Timothy had a coach. His name was Paul. Who's your coach in the kingdom? I don't need a coach. Okay, great. We'll see how that works out for you. Because Paul's very clear in 2 Timothy 2. He says, what you've heard me say and see me do in the presence of many people, you, Timothy, teach faithful men who are qualified to teach others. So he says, in that line is always going to be, I'm going to do, you watch me do. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to connect with you. I'm going to teach you. And I'm going to show you what I do. Then you, Timothy, do that to the next person and to the next person all the way down the line. If you don't have a Paul in your life and a Paul that you're feeding up to and a Timothy feeding down to, you're missing that scripture. And you're missing what God wants to do in your life. Amen? Who's with me? That's a coach. Someone who's going to take you forward. And what we're going to be careful of is South African men, alpha males. South African guys. You must know, to live in this country, you're going to be tough, bro. I don't need anyone. That's the problem. It's a culture. I want to tell you, men, you got to break that culture. You do need someone. You need someone to lead you. If you say I don't, you are incredibly proudful and unsubmissive and unteachable. Craig's not saying that. Jesus is saying that. I'm willing to submit myself to another man to help me walk this life out because I'm teachable. And I want to listen and I want to grow. Amen. That was the introduction. But the reason I say that with such fervency and urgency is because we are not going to take the promises of God and apply them to our lives. We're going to struggle if we're not walking according to His plan. That's His plan. If you don't agree with me, I challenge you. You come and have a coffee with me and show me scripture and verse where I'm wrong. Show me where I'm wrong. What I'm saying is incorrect. The same Bible I'm reading, mind you, not the Bible that you might have that you found somewhere. This Word of God. Show me in the Bible where it says you mustn't do this stuff. Remember your leaders who spoke the Word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Every one of us sitting in this hall tonight should have a leader. Who's your leader? It's you, Craig. I don't know you. Never spoken to you. I said hello to you here by the door. What's that? Amen? Yeah, but I can't find anyone. No, you're not looking hard enough. There's lots of people. Go and ask, hey, who can I connect with? Whose life group are you in? Oh, Joe Bloggs. Go chat to Joe. See what happens there. I don't like Joe. He challenges me too much when I sit with him. Amen? Ooh. That didn't look good. What happened, Ryan? Didn't undo that. All right. So the reason why I tell you that is because in order to lay hold of the promises, I've got to be walking in His purpose and His plan. Amen. I say this because this is what I did for the last 20 years. Well, what about now, Craig? Who's your leader? I can name them for you. Matter of fact, I just found two more, Jeff and Conan. I'm impressing into these guys. I've got their WhatsApp numbers now. I'm going to start talking. How's it going? Hey, what did you think? What do you think about this? This is having a grace life. What would you do here? Myself and I talk all the time. You need someone who you can speak to, who can hold you to account in what you're doing in this world to help you go to the next level in your faith, in your maturity. Amen. You're not there to sit and just chew the cud and talk about the weather. How's it going with what you're doing with the Lord? So I can help you go to the next level of where God wants to take you. The goal is maturity. Who's with me? I've had some tough conversations with my children. You can ask them. Tough, strong conversations. Who's had tough conversations with you, kneecap to kneecap, toe to toe, eyeball to eyeball, about something in your life? that you need to address and change for this gospel's sake. If you haven't had that, you're missing the word of God. Amen. All right, so, because we want a culture of this, friends. That's why I speak this out. It's not going to change by tomorrow. No, it won't. But hopefully by next year, this time will be different. And the year after that, and the year after that. And that's the goal, to bring maturity to the body of Christ. Maturity by virtue of what it is not easy. Amen. I know lots of 30-year-olds that are not mature in this life. They act like babies. They fly off their handle every 5 minutes. Emotional. Who likes those kind of people? You put your hand up for everything. Jeez, your hand's up going all the time. Just keep your hand up. There we go. That's better. So hold your hand up there, Wes. I was just kidding. You can put your hand down. Okay, number one. Point number one, the certainty of the promise. Okay, so I'll talk about the promises. So now I'm going to presuppose that all of us at Grace Life are walking in the plan of God. Amen? Okay, because I'm talking about the church down the road, not Grace Life, of course. We're all walking in the purpose and the plan of God. Amen? So, and we know, that Greek word know is to understand or to see. Not a maybe, an ironclad certainty. It's an absolute. Someone spoke to me today, and they said, "Hey, they're struggling, and they've got some. There's a meeting coming up, and they, you know, I could hear the little bit of anxiety there." And I just said, "Man, you're a giver. You serve. You're a tither. You give. You sow into the kingdom. God has got you and your family in His hand, because you operate and walk by faith." There's times where you've walked on water, I know financially. You've given even when you've been, things have been tough. You've gone, "God, I'm going to do this. Even though I can't see the miracle, I'm going to still do this. I'm going to step out in faith." Amen. I'm tired. I'm coming to the, I know I've been working. I'm going to come to the meeting anyway. I know He's done this. I said, God has got you. He works all things for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Jesus laid His life down for you and I. He didn't do it because it was easy. In Hebrews 6, when God made a promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater to swear by himself, he swore by himself, "I will surely bless and give you descendants." So sometimes I'll say that to myself, "Lord, I know that you've blessed, you've called me to be a blessing to others. I know that you're going to bless Dawn and I know that you've done great things for us. You're going to continue to do great things for us because we're laying our lives down for you and your kingdom, Jesus." Amen. Is it easy? Yeah, simple. Every day. We float through life like butterflies. No, it's tough. Sometimes things are tight financially. You don't know what's coming down the... Jeez, this has happened. That's going on. Everything's fine. Next to the car, something goes wrong with the vehicle. You're like, "Well, how are we going to sort that out?" You've got other things going on. People in the church, it's just... You've got Satan who wants to just hate Dawn and I. He wishes we'd just die. He hates this church. And he hates the fact that we lead it. He hates all of you. He hates the leadership. He wishes we'd just close tomorrow. And all die. That's Satan. He hates us all. But we're not scared of him. Because we know who God is. The promises are ironclad in the Father. He has given us His word. "I will bless you." Amen? So things have been tight for sitting on a hill. They put this whole summit together. Cost money. Trusting the Lord. Conan and Jeff flew themselves out from the States. They paid for their own tickets. But they came, obviously accommodation for Ryan and I, just accommodation for the other pastors, the other guys who are coming up. Just things that they have to pay, of course, as a church, and then still puts us on at the same, going, "Well, Lord, I'm going to keep trusting you." He messaged me this evening, and he says, "Craig, how's this for testimony? Things have been," and I know he's told me about it. And remember, faith without hints is dead. He's not hinting. And he goes, "Someone put 100,000 rand in our account today. 100,000 rand. Anonymous, I don't know who. How's that for the Lord?" And they did the summit and this thing with Jeff and Conan by faith, because they didn't really have the finances for it. How's that for the Lord? Amen? Number two, I mean, I could go and speak about the certainty, but number two, the completeness of the promise in all things. Say in all things. Joseph, think about his prophetic dream. Think about what happens. He has this dream. Don't be a Joseph. Joseph, very immature. Hey, I'm going to rule you guys. Woohoo! It's just dwarf. So his brothers get upset and angry with him, but they throw him into the pit. Obviously, they shouldn't have done that. They should have loved him. He's our younger brother. He's an idiot, but hey, we still love the guy. No, they're bitter and twisted. Be careful your bitterness and twistedness doesn't throw immature people into the pit. Amen? Your offense. And toss him into the pit while you're sitting having coffee with someone. Let me toss this guy into the pit while I'm telling you about what he did or what he doesn't do or what I think he is. You reap what you're sowing, sir or ma'am. Don't do that. Amen. We're here to undo the works of the enemy, not reinforce them and accuse people of stuff. If they're not there to protect themselves or defend themselves, that's very bad. You are incredibly immature if you do that. You're a child. Amen. We don't want to be children. We want to be adults in the kingdom. He has a dream, and what happens? He gets thrown into it, but he comes out of that. We know the whole story. Potiphar's wife tries to have it on with him. He just goes, no. And he gets thrown into prison, a pit, then the prizen. And in prison, he's still just hoskop. Doesn't fall apart. He prophesies. Doesn't keep complaining. Hey, oh yeah, I thought you were God. Look where you put me. My brothers, I hate them. I'll kill them. And I see. He just keeps on being faithful. And he comes out and he says to his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Even if someone in the church does something to intends to harm you, you just forgive and move on and bless and bless. Amen? If I hear someone says negatively, something negative about someone else in the church, I'm going to go up to the person and say, sir, have you prayed for that person lately? Because if you haven't, you're not being like Jesus. Amen. Hey, when last you pray? Man, I want to pray for him. Oh, geez, he's your enemy. No, but he's an idiot. Well, Jesus says pray for him. Amen. I can be a bonehead sometimes. Well, it's Dawn. Pray for me. Amen. It's hard leading. Have you ever led a church? No, then you have no idea what you're talking about. Amen. Just pray. Pray for those that need your prayers. And everyone does. Paul says, pray for all the brothers. Amplified. I'm convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Jesus and his return. That's the completeness of the promise. He will perfect you. He will, but you've got to keep on, keeping on, keeping on, moving forward. Amen. Heard someone this morning, we had a meeting and Ryan's talking about something. He's like, yeah, you know, this guy's having an issue with someone. He's like, I think I should just leave the church. So, okay, my friend, how's it going to help you? You don't worry about someone else. You just honor, love, work it out where you need to as mature brothers and sisters and keep on keeping on. Amen. Hard truth. Comfort makes you fragile. Look at this. Hard truth, comfort makes you fragile, not immediately, gradually. Like a bone that isn't stressed enough, it loses density over time. Your capacity for difficulty atrophies without use. Your capacity for difficulty atrophies without use. Seek small doses of voluntary discomfort daily. It's preventative maintenance for your resilience and your future in the Lord. Jesus never looked for the easy way out. Never. Never. As a matter of fact, Jesus, when the crowd wanted to throw off the cliff, it says he didn't run around them. It says he walked straight through them and the Father protected them. Walk right through the thing. God will protect you. But he was about his Father's business. Okay, he wasn't about his own stuff. Resilience. Sit with someone and say, how do you think I'm doing since the last time we chatted? What you don't want is someone that, come, we need to talk. Okay, hey, this is how, who are you? No, that's not seeking the difficult conversation. You want someone, come, give it to me. I'll wipe the blood off my nose and I get stronger. Amen. Amen. But many times, us South African men, I do my own thing. I just, you know, man, I'm my own man. I don't need anyone's help, because the moment I ask you, then it looks like I'm weak, and I'm not weak. It's weak to not be mentored. It takes strength to have another man talk to you and you say, okay, I'm going to take what he says on the nose. Because Lord, I want to become who you've called me to become. By faith. The cause of the promise, God himself. I can't go into, but the Lord himself is the cause. Satan's biggest goal is to make God out to be someone he's not. I spoke about that. Amen? We know who you are, Jesus. You are worthy of it all. Not Satan isn't worthy of anything. Jesus is worthy of it all. And so therefore, I honor him. And I walk according to his purpose and his plan because he's got a great plan for my life. Amen. The purpose, I think this is my last point. Yes, it is. Aren't you glad? The purpose of the promise. Listen to this. Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed. Oh, it's a hard one. To be conformed to the image of his son. Who wants to be conformed to the image of Jesus here? Yeah, don't put your hand up too quick. Don't put your hand up too quick because that's not going to be easy. Because everything in our flesh wants to fight against that. Amen? Not our spirit, man. We're perfectly holy and perfect in our spirit, man. But our flesh, Paul says in Romans and Galatians 5, our flesh doesn't want to do what the spirit wants to do in the other way around. So when you're sitting with someone saying, speak to me, it's a spirit man to spirit man saying, teach me so I can deny what's trying to pull me away from the purpose of God. Because everything in this world, including the God of this world, Satan, is geared towards pulling you away from the purposes of God. Amen. He doesn't mind nominal believers who believe Jesus but just do nothing. Go to church on a Sunday, watch the prayer, nah, say a cup of coffee, lack of meat, and walk out. He doesn't mind that, but he doesn't like someone taking Jesus seriously. Yes. Teach me, O God. Put a new heart in me. Change my mind that I may become like you. Conform to the image of his son. It's like with a potter in the jars of clay. Why don't we stand? I'm done here. The jars of clay. What is a jar of clay? So we're potters. We are jars of clay in the potter's hands. When the thing's spinning around and the potter's busy molding it, that thing is taking the shape of the potter's hand. Amen? Sometimes it's helpful to have someone talk into my life to tell me, hey, bro, that's not quite the shape of the potter's hand. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Just because it seems right to you doesn't mean that it's actually God. Amen. In Colossians 1, it says, he is the one we proclaim. Listening to this. We can say this together as a church, but don't say this with me, but this is what God wants for you and I. He is the one we proclaim. This is Paul speaking to the Colossian church. Admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. So that word admonish, to admonish is not necessarily a pleasant correcting. It's a kind of, hey, this is incorrect. It's admonishing. There's an admonishment. Who's with me? Doesn't mean we're going to be horrible. It just means there's something in this language that Paul is using that he admonishes people, brings correction, of course, encouragement, and teaching. Why? With all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Man alive. This is Paul writing to the church at Colossae. His goal is to present, say everyone. If you're not everyone here this evening, take a seat. Oh, are we all standing? Which means Paul is talking to you. God's goal is to present you mature in Christ. How does that happen? How is that going to happen? So that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Why? Because God's plan are good for me. And his purpose is good for me. And he works out all things good. But in order to have things work out good for me as I'm walking this life, I have to be walking in his plan, becoming more and more like Christ in maturity. Doesn't matter whether you're 10, 20, or 70. Amen? To this end, and this is my last scripture, I strenuously contend, that word is struggle, with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. How beautiful is that? To this end, what end? To present you mature in Christ. I want to tell you, friends, If you know me by any, if you know me at all, and you connect with me, my goal is to present you mature in Christ. So I want to encourage you, make it your goal to present the next person down the line mature in Christ. Because then we're doing what Paul did. And Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. I think the Lord wants us to follow his leading. Paul, Dawn said this the other day. She said, Paul writes, follow me as I follow Christ. Some of us in this room, or maybe not Grace Life, it's the other churches. Follow me. Yeah, no, you follow Christ, and then you've got to come and find me and then try and pull me to follow you, because I might be missing every now and again and just fall off the wagon or not be bothered too much or kind of be not interested. So you follow Jesus, and then when you've got time, you come try and find me and then encourage me to come follow you, because no, he doesn't say that. He just says, follow me as I follow Christ. It presupposes that you're just following him. Yes. You know, hey, where are you? Surfing, bro. I went out last night, got a bit tanked. He says, no, follow me. Just follow me as I follow Jesus. I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and for those in Laodicea. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches and complete understanding, in order that they may know the mysteries of Jesus. Don't you love that language? I just love it. This is Paul the Apostle. It's like, this is what I'm trying to do for the church. Friends, if we're going to become who God's called us to become in this world, and God's going to continue to work things out good for the church, not Craig and Dawn, not the leaders, but for Grace Life, not just for Grace Life, for all the churches in the Bluff, not just the Bluff, Durban, not just for Durban, South Africa, not just for South Africa, for the world. If he's going to work things out for our good, which means we walking in the blessing and the power of Jesus, we have to walk according to his plan. Jeff said to us the other day, 200 churches a weekend close in America. They've made it their goal. They call church boomers to rescue churches. 200 churches close a weekend. Thousands of churches close. Lord, help us. Amen. Oh, it's great, Grace Life going to close. No, this, what I'm trying to say is, let's make it our goal to do these things. Not the leaders, all of us together, to take him seriously. Amen. To become mature, attaining to the full measure, so that we can say, Lord, we're walking according to your plans and purposes. We know you're going to work things out good for our lives. Amen. Can I pray for you? Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in this place, Father. Sometimes I can speak and I walk away and I go, yes, was that not too challenging? And then I feel you say, Craig, sometimes the problem in the church so often is that the challenge is so min, so little, that what is actually normal scripture, if you look at Paul's writings, Timothy, and Titus, and Peter, and Jesus, you see that people have reduced that down to abnormal. So when you actually do normal preaching, it brings a conviction about how my people are and how they can be. They see that as abnormal. So I thank you, Lord, that my preaching at Grace Life is not abnormal. You've called us to a great work. As we look around this planet, Father, things are not going to get easier. But we know the church is going to get brighter. But the only way we can get brighter, not because we're holier, we can't become any more holy than we are. Brighter because of our maturity and what we are doing on this planet. Our love we have for one another and the love we have for our communities, Lord. We thank you for this, Lord. This is our destiny. This is the plan that you have for us, God. Help us to walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen.